Our text for this morning's message is from the Ephesians passage we read a few moments ago. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Dear friends in Christ, during the school year from our house here in town, you can actually hear children playing on the playground over at Tompkins Elementary School. But right now, of course, because of summer, those noises aren't as prevalent during the week. The playground's empty. Of course, though, in a few weeks, it'll probably be teeming with boys and girls playing around and playing games. And the thing about the times when you were growing up, and your elementary school when you were there, and you're there with all the other kids and kind of hanging around during recess, and then somebody suggests a game of kickball. And quickly, of course, the two biggest, most athletic boys jump up and say, "We're the captains." And they begin to choose one by one who's going to be on their team. Of course, the most prolific, the most athletic, the best players are going to be chosen first, and then they begin choosing the leftovers. Nobody wants to be chosen last, and sometimes we're not chosen at all. They're not even chosen, they're left out. And whether it's kickball or getting a part in the school play or being selected for promotion at work, everybody wants to be chosen. Everybody wants to be chosen. In this world, of course, being chosen means it actually says something about who you are. It gives us a sense of identity, of belonging. In many ways, being chosen means that you're special, means that you're good. But if we're left out, it implies that for some reason we don't quite measure up, that we're not as good as everybody else, that we're not good enough. And in our society, where our value is based on worldly standards, it's easy to feel like you don't belong. If you don't wear the right clothes, drive the right car, aren't beautiful enough or smart, don't listen to the right music, you don't measure up in a lot of ways. You're not good enough. But if we apply that same system of determining value and worth here in the church, we quickly see that when it comes to things that are spiritual, that you and I, we really don't belong here either. We're not all that special. I mean, think about it. In the creed, especially in the Apostles' Creed, we say that we believe in one holy Christian church and the communion of saints. How many people here feel like they're saints on a regular basis? See, we look at our lives and we see that saint really doesn't necessarily describe our lives on a regular basis. We've got plenty of moments that we remember how we failed to keep God's word, how we failed to live as God wanted us to live. We look at His word, we look at His law, and we can easily see every single time we've broken His commandments. Maybe we have a particular sin, even a bunch of sins, that we're so ashamed of that we've never really admitted them to anybody. We've got all kinds of sins, and all of our sins, all of our flaws in our personality or defects in our bodies show us that we don't even belong in the church, that we're not good enough to be in the presence of God, let alone be chosen by Him. But when we read the words of St. Paul in our text this morning, it's an amazing thing that we see. If you look at the first paragraph, and I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of grammatical work here, if you will. Dr. Jeff Gibbs from my seminary days He used to say that if you look at this first paragraph in Ephesians, it's actually a one run-on sentence. And it goes on and on and on and on. But if you notice who is doing the action here in this first paragraph, he's blessed us. He chose us. He predestined us. He has blessed us again. He lavished upon us. He set forth. Notice that in each one of these verses, it's God who's doing the action. He's doing the choosing. He's deciding who belongs to Him. And how is He doing the choosing? It's definitely not based on your actions or mine that He's doing this choosing. He's not doing it based on how well we've met His expectations, because we all sin and fall short of God's glory. Instead, God chooses us, Paul says, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, he says in verse 5, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ. In Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So why are we chosen? Well, God chooses us for one reason, and one reason only. He chose us based not on our merits, but He chose us based on the merits of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And those merits are freely given to us, freely credited to us. By faith, we are made His. His righteousness is imputed to us. That's what that is. It's kind of laid over top of us, laid like a robe over us, a cloak. Those things are imputed to us. So in Jesus, through our faith, through our faith in His life, His death, and His resurrection, through in Jesus, actually God loves us and He chooses us. And so, you and I, we belong. He's the captain, and He's made us part of His team, if you will, part of His family. And if you look in the Bible, you see story after story after story of how God chooses somebody to be His. Not because they're worthy of anything, absolutely not, but simply because He loves them. I mean, let's think about David. King David, you know, he was just this scrawny little shepherd boy, right? And God chooses him. Later on, we see what David did. Well, he commits adultery, uses the Philistines to kill the woman's husband, and then takes her to be his wife. Not really the greatest guy in the world, you would think. Or even Paul himself. Think about Paul, who's writing this letter. What had he done? He was on the road to Damascus to bring persecution to the Christians there. When God chooses him, when Jesus chooses him, he's a persecutor. He even calls himself the chief of sinners because he persecuted the people of God. And yet God chose him. Did God choose these men just because they were so good? Well, probably not. No, he chose them because he loved them and wanted them to be his. In our gospel last week, we see the 12 disciples. They're not exactly pillars of society. And still, what Jesus did last week was he sends them out with authority, two by two. I don't know if you remember from the gospel reading last week, he sends out each one of the disciples two by two. And as they're going out, they start doing these great things. Not because they're great people. No, because they belong to Jesus. And in Luke's gospel, he actually describes them coming back and talking about and being excited about all the great things that they were able to do, that the demons were cast out, the sick were healed. But Jesus tells them, don't be all excited about what these things just because you can do them. That's not what you should be excited about. That's not what you should rejoice in. Rejoice instead that your names are written in the book of life. Rejoice, Jesus says, because you belong. Close your eyes for just a moment, if you will, so that you can visualize a scene from the past. It's way back in the past, a distant time, a time, in fact, before there was anything here. In that vast emptiness before creation, God alone exists. And before he ever said, "Let there be light," he chose you. That's what Paul says. You can open your eyes now. He chose you before the foundations of the earth. I don't think that we ever really conceive of what that means. That God chose you and he chose me before the foundations of the earth. He says that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Before you were, before anything was, God chose you. God chose us. And that makes us special. That makes you special. Special to Christ. Special to God, our Heavenly Father. He wrote your name in the book of life because he wants you to be with him forever. Now, if that's not a source of joy, I don't know what is. To know that we are his both now and forever, solely because of our faith in Jesus. You are special to him. You have been chosen. Now, some of you might have noticed during the worship service, I know I do it a lot of times, whether during the invocation, during the creed, or the communion, that we follow an ancient custom, actually, of doing the sign of the cross. Luther, actually, in the Small Catechism, talks about doing the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what that is it's a reminder of our baptism. Because we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what that is. When we're baptized, we have the sign of the cross placed on our forehead and on our chest and over our heart as a reminder that we are part of Christ's family. We're reminded that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit and therefore we belong to God. And I don't know if you ever noticed that when you receive communion, and the communion wafers themselves, they have a little cross on them as well, stamped into them. The sign of the cross there is also a reminder that Jesus, in his Holy Supper, has died and risen for us. That his death brings forgiveness of sins to you and to me. And that cross is just there to remind us that this indeed is Christ's body given for us. When you notice it, let it remind you today that through the sacrifice of Jesus, you also have been marked with the sign of the cross, and that you also belong, that you are special to him. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes one more time and visualize one more scene. This one's in the future. You're on your deathbed. And you know it's almost time for this life to come to an end. And as you lay there, you think back on where you've been and what you've done. But mostly you think about where you're going. And maybe a smile comes to your face because you know. There's no, "I hope I'm good enough," but only, "I know that I will be with Jesus because he died for me and he chose me to be his forever." You could open your eyes again. Are we good enough to be chosen? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We sin every day of our lives. But because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us His perfection, the result of being chosen is yes. So let's therefore praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has indeed blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Why? Because we belong to Him. Amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.